purport by Srila Prabhupada. Enough, Richie. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68 in connection with a misunderstanding between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. As a result of this misunderstanding, Durvasa Muni tried to kill the king. When the Sudarshan Chakra, the celebrated weapon of Godhead, appeared on the scene for the devoted king's protection. When the Sudarshan Chakra attacked Durvasa Muni, he fled in fear of the weapon and sought shelter from all the great demigods in heaven. Not one of them was able to protect him. And therefore, Durvasa Muni prayed to Lord Vishnu for forgiveness. Lord Vishnu advised him, however, that if he wanted forgiveness, he had to get it from Maharaj Ambarish, not from him. In this context, Lord Vishnu spoke this verse. The Lord, being full and free from problems, can wholeheartedly care for his devotees. His concern is how to elevate and protect all those who have taken shelter at his feet. The same responsibility is also entrusted to the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master's concern is how the devotees who have surrendered to him as a representative of the Lord may make progress in devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always mindful of the devotees who engage in cultivating knowledge of him, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. Translation again. Saints are my heart, and only I am their hearts. They do not know anyone but me, and therefore I do not recognize anyone besides them as mine. This verse is placed by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami here in the first chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which he discusses the spiritual masters. Of course, the spiritual master must be a devotee of the Lord. And here Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes different characteristics of devotees. And in the present series of verses in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he discusses the fact that the Lord resides in the heart of the devotee. And therefore the devotee receives inspiration from the Lord within the heart. And the devotee should be offered respect, just like the Lord. In the present verse, Lord Vishnu describes the beautiful reciprocation between the Lord and the devotee. Basically, the devotee knows nothing but the Lord, and the Lord knows nothing but his devotee. The Lord dwells within the heart of the devotee, and the devotee lives within the heart of the Lord. When I came before Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda this morning, I thought of Srila Prabhupada, how he had come here and installed the deity. There are many wonderful pictures of him, and even live footage of him offering arati and dancing in kirtan before the deities. And I thought how Srila Prabhupada endeavored ceaselessly to preach the message of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, and to give facility to devotees to progress in Krishna consciousness. I thought also how Srila Prabhupada was 70 years of age when he reached America by steamship, all alone, without knowing anyone there, and how he preached and spread Krishna consciousness and created so many facilities for the devotees, like Bhaktivedanta Manor, all over the world, between the age of 70 and 82. And I thought, what selfless service, what surrender, what dependence on the Lord, how much the Lord must love Srila Prabhupada. And I thought of myself. Now I'm 62. Who knows what condition I'll be in when I'm 70, which was the age at which Srila Prabhupada arrived in America. And I have so many people to help me. There are devotees practically everywhere I go. I have people to travel with me, help me with my luggage. I fly, don't go by steamship, by cargo carrier. And even then it's so hard to travel. It's hard to travel. And Srila Prabhupada had no one externally. He was all alone. Began at the age of 70, traveled by steamship, cargo carrier, and served the Lord in the best way by preaching the message of Krishna, making devotees, caring for them, protecting them, encouraging, and giving them every facility to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So what deep love resided in Srila Prabhupada's heart for Krishna, for his spiritual master, and for the conditioned souls. And reciprocally, what love Krishna had for Srila Prabhupada. So, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to jump ahead to the pastime of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas and relate it to the verse. The essence of this verse is the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. The devotee knows no one but the Lord, and the Lord knows no one but the devotee. And this is Krishna's promise, yeyatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. That is, one, Krishna says, as one surrenders to me, I reciprocate accordingly. And Krishna is always true to his promise. He always reciprocates with his devotees. In fact, he reciprocates with everyone who approaches him in whatever way they approach him. But Krishna's promise, immortal, eternal promise, was broken. By the love of the gopis. Of course, this is a very high topic, but it's relevant to Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas. Earlier in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, before Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes his sannyas, he explains that the Lord appeared for two reasons, internal and external. The external reason was to propagate the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. And the internal reason was to experience the love of Radharani for Krishna, especially in separation. And at the same time to distribute the pure love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna to the conditioned souls in the material world. So in the same way, there are two reasons for the Lord's acceptance of sannyas, internal and external. So the external reason is explained very clearly in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that people, contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya, could not recognize him. They thought he was an ordinary human being, and some disrespected him. They blasphemed him. And the Lord knew that unless they accepted him, they would not be able to get the benefit of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, out of mercy to them, to the fallen souls in general, but in particular to the offenders, he accepted sannyas. So I will read just a few verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes the Lord's thinking. This is Adi Lila, chapter 8, text 10. Morena manile sabaloka habanasha iti lagi kripardra prabhu karila sannyasa. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, unless people accept me, they will all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. This is very significant. Unless we accept Lord Chaitanya, we cannot approach Lord Krishna. And in the next verse, sannyasi budye mori karebe namaskara tatapi kandibe dukkha payebe nistara. If a person offers obeisances to me, even due to accepting me only as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distresses will diminish, and he will ultimately get liberation. Then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Ata eva puna kahon urdva bahuhana Chaitanya Nityananda Bhaja Kutarka Chadiya. Therefore I say again and again, lifting my arms, O fellow human beings, please worship Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda without false arguments. Maybe it's a coincidence, but I find before me on the lectern golden rules for japa meditation. I think it must have been the bookmark, and I just put it on the lectern. And the first statement is, to obtain the full blessings of Lord Krishna for good japa, chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra first. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So that is the purport of this one line by Lord Chaitanya. Basically one line by Lord Chaitanya, that if people do not accept me, they will be ruined. In other words, their human form of life will be ruined because they will not achieve Krishna consciousness. So in order to achieve Krishna consciousness, we have to accept Lord Chaitanya. Then we can approach Lord Krishna. So in the same way, before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we first chant the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas so that the offenders would not blaspheme him, but to the contrary, they would offer him respect, if for no other reason than he was a sannyasi. And at the time, and even today, in Vedic culture, people offer respect to sannyasis. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas for the sake of the fallen souls, to deliver them. That is the external reason. And the internal reason is explained in a very confidential talk that Lord Chaitanya had with Lokanath Goswami, which is recorded in a book called Prem Vilas by a devotee named Nityananda Das, who was a disciple of Janavamata, the eternal consort of Nityananda Prabhu, and the leader of all the Vaishnavas after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Srila Prabhupada mentions this verse, this book, Prem Vilas, in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this conversation, Lord Chaitanya reveals his mind to Lokanath Goswami. He says that I have come into the material world and I have directed some people to Nityananda Prabhu and to Advaita Acharya, but I have my own personal reasons for having descended. And to whom can I tell these reasons? To whom can I reveal my heart? And then he said to Lokanath Goswami that I carry a deep pain within my heart for two reasons. One reason is that there is a Brahman who has not recognized me. He has not recognized Krishna. Instead of worshiping Krishna, he worships Krishna's servants, who are known as demigods, without knowing Krishna's position. And thus, he is going to hell. So, for the sake of these Brahmins who do not recognize Krishna and are offensive to Krishna, I feel I must take sannyas. But then he says there's another reason that he is feeling great pain in his heart, and that is because he feels that he owes a debt to Srimati Radharani for her glorious qualities and service, and that he is unable to repay his debt to her, and that is causing him great distress. So we come back to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's statement that Krishna says that he reciprocates the love of his devotees, but that his solemn promise for all times was broken by the love of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Because in Krishna's discussion with them after he had left them during the Rasa Leela, he admitted Naparayeham Niravidya Samhita that I cannot repay my debt to you. Even if I lived as long as Lord Brahma, I could not repay my debt to you. Why is that so, that Krishna, who reciprocates the love of all of his devotees, why is it that he could not reciprocate the love of Srimati Radharani? The answer is that Srimati Radharani and the other gopis, as Krishna himself says, they forsook their family attachments when Krishna played upon his flute to call the gopis. They ran out of the houses. They didn't care for their husbands, for their children, for their elders. They didn't think of anything other than Krishna and Krishna's service. But Krishna did not do that. He would very carefully and stealthily sneak out of the house at night. And his mother and father did not know that he had gone out. And in the early morning, he would sneak back into the house, pretend to go to sleep, or go to sleep in his own way. And in the morning, his relationships with his mother and father and others were intact. Krishna reciprocates the love of all of his devotees. He reciprocates the love of his parents. He reciprocates the love of his boyfriends. He reciprocates the love of his servants. He even reciprocates the appreciation of him by those in Shantaras. He reciprocates the efforts to love him of devotees in the material world. As he says in this verse, saints are my heart and only I am their hearts. For every saint, there's only one Krishna. But for the one Krishna, there are many saints. And because, especially for the gopis, there was only Krishna. They had the unmarried girls had their parents, but they risked their relationship with their parents for Krishna, like many of us did when we came to Krishna consciousness. Some of them were married. They risked their relationship with their husbands, with their in-laws. They didn't think of anything but Krishna. But Krishna, his position is different. He has to think of everyone. But because of that, he could not reciprocate their love. Because they sacrificed everything for him. They knew no one but him. But he was cognizant of so many other devotees and so many other relationships. But still, he gave his promise, yayatam mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. And he wanted to reciprocate their love, especially the love of Sri Radha. But he couldn't. And that was causing him great distress. And in that mood of distress, he revealed his mind to Lokanath Goswami. And he said, the only way that I can reciprocate Sri Radha's love for me is if I leave my home. I leave my loved ones. I leave my friends. And therefore, I must take sannyas. When Krishna left Vrindavan, before Krishna left Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani would wear a blue-colored sari, which would remind her of Krishna. But after he left Vrindavan, she wore a saffron-colored garment in the mood of separation. And she would not eat or sleep. She was just mad in the mood of separation from Krishna. She didn't care for her body. She didn't care for anything. So Krishna thought, the only way I can reciprocate her love is if I take sannyas and I wear the saffron color garments of separation. And in the mood of separation from her as a sannyasi, I also won't be able to sleep at night. I won't eat properly. I'll just lie down on the bare floor, just like Srimati Radharani in her separation from Krishna. And the gopis, in their separation, proclaim the glories of Krishna. So Krishna thought, in my separation, I will proclaim the glories of the gopis, and in particular, Srimati Radharani. And in this way, I will begin to repay my debt to her. So this is a very deep and confidential topic. And it is revealed to us by the mercy of our acharyas. So that we can understand how to receive the precious gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, and Srila Prabhupada has often repeated, that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he has come as a devotee to teach us how to serve Krishna, how to worship Krishna, how to love Krishna. And just like everything else in Lord Chaitanya's appearance and activities, there's the external and the internal. And both are absolute. That is the nature of the absolute truth, the nature of Krishna. There's no difference between his inside and outside. He's absolute. So, Lord Chaitanya came to show us how to worship Krishna. And externally, he chanted the holy name of Krishna. He performed Harinam Sankirtan. And until today and for all time, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will chant the holy names of Krishna and perform Harinam Sankirtan. And that too requires some attention. Come back here to our golden rules. Lord Chaitanya is the golden avatar, so it's proper we should have golden rules. Chant the full Maha Mantra on each bead. Chant each syllable aloud and clearly. Listen very carefully and concentrate on the sound of the Maha Mantra. Very good instructions. Very good instructions. So Lord Chaitanya, in his instructions to Srila Sanatan Goswami, describes the different processes of devotional service, 9 processes of devotional service, and then he says, tar madye, amongst all these 9 processes, sarva-shrestha, the best of all, is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Nir aparade, and if one chants the holy name of Krishna without committing offenses, premadan, one will get the treasure of love for Krishna. So we want that treasure, and therefore we want to chant the holy name without offense. That's the only way we will get that premadan. And, of course, there are 10 offenses. One of them, we conscientiously try to avoid while we are chanting japa, and that is the offense of pramadaha, or inattention. That's something that we must conscientiously pursue when we chant. If the mind wanders from the sound of the holy name, we bring it back. We make a conscientious effort to remove that offense of inattention. and that effort puts us on the clearing stage of chanting, which by definition will clear us of anarthas and defenses, aparats. And eventually, by the mercy of Krishna and the devotees, we can perfect our chanting and receive the treasure of pure love of God. And it is said in scripture that if one offends Krishna, one can take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. But if one offends the holy name of Krishna, one has no other recourse except to continuously chant the holy name and try to become free from the reactions to one's offenses. But within the 10 offenses, there's a special offense, if you will, which Srila Prabhupada calls the worst offense, and that is sadhu ninda, or Vaishnava aparad. That offense was committed by Durvasa Muni in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam that's quoted here. Durvasa Muni was a great sage, Brahmin, worshipper of Shiva, known to be temperamental. In any case, Durvasa Muni, Maharaj Ambarish was observing Ekadasi. And in the strict observance of Ekadasi, one does not eat or drink. And in order to get the, in order to complete the observance of Ekadasi properly, one must break the fast within a certain range of times the next morning. That's called the Parana. And it so happened that Durvasa Muni came to the court of King Ambarish. And then he took leave, and he said that he would return. And the etiquette, of course, was Durvasa Muni was a Brahmin, Maharaj Ambarish was a Kshatriya. So in breaking the fast, the first food should be offered to Durvasa Muni, and then others would take. That would be the proper etiquette. But time passed, and Durvasa Muni did not return. And the time was nearing when the fast would have to be broken, otherwise the performance of the Ekadasi would have been negated. So Maharaj Ambarish consulted the Brahmins in his court, but they could not find a solution. And finally, the king himself found the solution, that he would drink water. By drinking water, he would break the fast, because in his fast, he didn't drink water. But at the same time, he wouldn't break the fast by eating food until Durvasa Muni came, and he would offer the first food to Durvasa Muni. And Srila Prabhupada comments that although Ambarish was a Kshatriya, because he was a Vaishnav, he could find the solution to this dilemma, whereas the Brahmins in his court could not find the solution. So he broke the fast only by taking water. And when Durvasa Muni came, he found, oh, he broke the fast without waiting for me. And he's a temperamental type, angry type. So he was so infuriated that he decided to kill Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish did nothing to protect himself. He just stood there helplessly in front of the sage, took shelter of the Lord. And the Lord immediately sent his Sudarshan Chakra to kill the offender, Durvasa Muni. So the Sudarshan Chakra, with all of its heat, was pursuing Durvasa Muni. But because Durvasa Muni was a great yogi, with his yogic powers, he tried to escape the Sudarshan Chakra. He went to the heavenly planet, to Lord Indra, to get shelter. Lord Indra said, I cannot help you. Eventually he went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, I cannot help you. So eventually he tried to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, I cannot forgive you. I do not have the power to forgive you. You have offended my devotee. You must go to my devotee for forgiveness. And ultimately he went to King Ambarish, begged for forgiveness, and King Ambarish, being such an exalted devotee and humble, he said, I don't know why you're asking me to forgive you. I don't think you've committed any offense. I'm the one who committed the offense. I should be asking you to forgive me. But the thing is that the Sudarshan Chakra was there waiting to perhaps sever Durvasa Muni's head from his trunk. And so Durvasa Muni prayed to Lord Vishnu, prayed to the Sudarshan Chakra, prayed to Lord Vishnu to call back the Sudarshan Chakra. And thus Durvasa Muni was saved from the reaction of his offense. So this is an important lesson for us aspiring chanters of the holy name, to avoid Vaishnava aparad. Srila Prabhupada said it's the worst offense against the holy name. And if we happen to have offended a Vaishnav, we should go to the Vaishnav and beg forgiveness. Sometimes devotees think that their criticism of a Vaishnav is justified. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this in Harinam Chintamani, that one may think that he's justified in criticizing a Vaishnav on the basis of the Vaishnava's low birth, on the basis of his sinful activities before coming to the association of devotees, on the basis of some bad habit that he may have even after coming to the association of devotees, or on the basis of an accidental fall down that he has had after coming to the association of devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these are not grounds for criticizing a devotee. And if someone criticizes a devotee on any of these grounds, he is guilty of sadhu ninda or Vaishnava aparad. Now, living in a society of devotees, there are bound to be little interactions. And we should not take, you know, little disagreements very seriously. Once one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada that if I have to offer obeisances and beg forgiveness to every devotee every time I offend a devotee, I'll be spending my whole time offering obeisances and begging forgiveness. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, we have introduced as part of the morning program Vaishnav Pranam. So the idea is every morning after Mangal Arati, the devotees offer obeisances to each other, and within themselves they beg the other devotees to forgive them for their incidental offenses, and then they start the day fresh, clean. So that should be our mood in the morning when we offer obeisances, to beg the other devotees for forgiveness for our offenses. And from our side, we should also accept their requests for forgiveness and forgive them and begin with a clean slate. But sometimes, unfortunately, someone may commit a more grievous offense. And in that case, one should approach the devotee personally and ask for forgiveness. And generally, the Vaishnav will forgive. Sometimes it may happen that the offense is such that the Vaishnav's anger does not immediately subside when being approached by the offender. And in that case, the offender should try to find out what he can do to please the Vaishnav whom he or she offended. And eventually, the merciful Lord, the merciful holy name, the merciful Vaishnav will relieve the devotee of the reactions. So, but Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to relieve the offenders of their offenses, but he also wanted to keep them from committing more offenses. And so he took sannyas, so that instead of offending him and blaspheming him, they would offer him respects. And that's also a lesson for us. That's the negative side, that we don't want to criticize devotees, we don't want to offend devotees, but the positive side is we should offer respects to devotees. We should render service to devotees. And if we're busy offering them respects, showing them appreciation, rendering them service, then where will be the chance to offend them? So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are here. We've been given all the knowledge we need to become Krishna conscious. There's so much in Srila Prabhupada's books. But as His Holiness Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj used to say, Prabhupada's books are like an ocean. And at the bottom of the ocean, there are many precious jewels and gems. And to get those precious jewels, we have to go deep into the ocean. In other words, we have to go deep into Srila Prabhupada's books. There's so much in them. Unfathomable. Unfathomable. If we go deep, we will find the most precious jewels of transcendental knowledge and realization and prema. He's given us the holy name. We can get everything just by chanting the 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one is not very literate or scholarly, one can get all knowledge revealed just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Niraparade. We chant without offense, Premadan. We'll get the treasure of love of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada has given us wonderful temples with beautiful deities, as we are experiencing now. And he's given us the association of devotees. And that's really what this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita is about, the association of devotees. Devotees. Every devotee is a guru. Every devotee is a shiksha guru. Srila Prabhupada said we should address each other Prabhu. Prabhu means master. So every Prabhu is our master to be served and to learn from. I had one very interesting talk with His Holiness Satchinandan Swami. Every year, Maharaj goes to Vraj during Kartik to do Namvrat, very strong Namvrat, chanting the holy name so many times. And one year, I don't know if it was the first year, but it was the first year that I was aware that he was there. He was staying at Radhakund. And some of the time I was staying at Govardhan, at the ashram that Tamal Krishna Goswami and I procured from the king of Chhatarpur. And although Satchinandan Swami hardly had time to eat or sleep, he had such a strong Namvrat, but he did find some time to spend with me one morning. And he discussed this point of sadhu sangha, which is one of the five most potent forms of devotional service, Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Svajatiya Shaye Snigde Sadhu Sangha Svatovare. The sadhu should be like-minded. I mean, literally, Svajatiya means like of the same caste. But Svajatiya Shaye Snigde, Prabhupada translated as having a similar affection for the Lord. Sadhu Sangha Svatovare, and the devotee should be more advanced than oneself. So Satchinandan Swami and I discussed this point, and Satchinandan Swami said that when we are in, he said that there are people who think that you have to go outside of ISKCON for sadhu sangha, to associate with people who are more advanced. Satchinandan Swami said he didn't agree, because swajati ashaye snigde, they should have the same type of affection, not only for the Lord, but in our case, all important, should have a similar type of affection for Srila Prabhupada, should have a similar type of understanding of Srila Prabhupada. And for us to associate with someone who doesn't have a similar type of affection and appreciation for Srila Prabhupada as we do, will not be favorable for us. If our relationship with Srila Prabhupada is important to us, and certainly in the case of Satchinandan Swami and me, and I hope everyone in this room, it is important. It's all important. So for us to associate with someone who doesn't have a similar appreciation and affection for Srila Prabhupada will not constitute favorable sadhu sangha. And as far as the point of associating with someone more advanced, Svatovare, Satchinandan Swami said that from the external point of view, people may see that we're equals. You know, Satchinandan Swami and Girad Swami, they're peers. But internally, Satchinandan Swami said, I think Girirad Swami is more advanced than I am, and I can learn from him. And he said it, and it was certainly true, and Girirad Swami is thinking Satchinandan Swami is more advanced than I am, and I can learn from him. I should associate with him and hear from him and serve him. And in that way, being in the mood of a humble devotee, we will see there are so many more advanced devotees than us in ISKCON who have the same type of understanding of Srila Prabhupada that we have. And so we can get sadhu sangha, according to Rupa Goswami's definition, right within ISKCON. And in fact, that might be the only place that we can get it, according to that definition. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada has given us every facility. He's given us the holy name. He's given us Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's given us the deities. He's given us temples. He's given us temples in Vrindavan and Mayapur and practically every major city of the world, and he's given us the association of his faithful followers. So we really have everything we need. All, the only other thing we need is a humble, simple heart so that we can accept all that he has given us and at the full advantage. And in that endeavor, I pray that you will help me, and to my capacity, I will help you. And we will all go back to Godhead together. Hare Krishna. So it is 9:30. We have reached the limit of the official time given to us by Shruti Dharma Prabhu, but he did say that I could officially end the class at 9:30 so that devotees who have other service and responsibilities can be free to go. And those who wish and are free can remain, and we can continue to discuss for some time more. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.